G'day everyone, welcome to the Kink Podcast, where I just talk stuff for an hour straight. Nothing's planned, I just talk about whatever comes to mind, and it's kind of interesting, and it usually probably goes more political stuff, and sometimes it can be a little bit funny, but don't expect much from it. But don't tune away though, it's kind of interesting what I discuss. Usually somehow it goes for an hour, or even well over an hour, and usually stuff just comes up to talk about. So I'm just drinking a cup of tea. So I'm the host of the Kink TV show, Andy Nolch. And, this is just my own personal podcast, this. Doesn't have much to do with the TV show or anything. This is just, me just talking for an hour straight. Do you know how they have those things that are like vitamins or those things that are like, I think they're usually vitamins and whenever they sell them, they're usually in some infomercial or whatever. And they're like, oh, this is the next best product. And it's usually from America or something like that. Like, this is the next best thing. It will heal everything. It's the most amazing thing ever. And then you try it and it wasn't that good, you know? And then when you sign up to try it, they set it up so that you have to do an auto ship or something, and you have to you don't just buy it once. They set it up so that it makes it so that every month unless you cancel it, it'll automatically order it. Well, I just signed up for one of those a few weeks ago, and I just recently cancelled its auto ship because I knew it would just automatically charge me and send it again, which I think is pretty questionable. Because it's if you're selling something and it's good, then you shouldn't have to rely on slightly forcing people to buy it again. You know, people will just come to you and buy it again anyway, you know. But I think they're set up that way. They make it cheaper for you to buy the product at the start if you sign up for regular monthly things, and they just rely on some people just forgetting and just automatically getting sent it and then being hooked on it and continuing to buy it. Anyway, so I don't know if the product's good yet or not, but it's just I just had to cancel the auto ship because I'm just going to wait and see if it's any good, and then I'll order it again and stuff. And I'm not really a fan of signing up for things like direct debits and that sort of stuff, because you sign up for one direct debit, and then if you say it's okay to sign up for a direct debit, then you sign up for one, then you sign up for another direct debit, and then suddenly you've got all these direct debits and you just look in your account and you're just getting all this money continually taking out. And next minute you got a gym membership on direct debit and you don't even go to the gym. So that's why I try and avoid direct debits. Sorry, I'm just drinking a cup of tea because it's casual. I also try and avoid getting into debt as well. I think that's a really good thing to avoid because it's like the direct debit thing. It's a bit of a trap. Oh, it sounds like we've got a topic today. What's going to be discussed? Something to do with how to handle finances, which is kind of interesting. Because none of this is just planned. It's just I just know I have to record this for an hour and I have to talk. And then it's not supposed to be anything special and exciting and stuff. So, whatever, I just start talking, whatever comes up, then we handle it. Having loans is a bit like the whole direct debit thing, where you just when you say it's okay to go into debt to buy something like a car or a house or just anything, a holiday, then you suddenly just you start just taking on more and more debt, and then you just get to a point where you're just stuck with the debt forever, and it just takes absolutely ages to pay off. You think, oh, it'll be easy to pay off and that, but it's nowhere near as easy to pay off as what you think. It's quite interesting, so I just recommend it's best to wait for something and save up for it. And if you have to borrow money, then do it, but really try and avoid it. The same with the direct debit, just try and avoid it, because it can kind of stuff up your finances, where suddenly you have to earn $600 a week just to pay the bills, and then on top of that, then you got some fun money. But that's the sort of scenario you'll be stuck with, and you have to earn that $600 a week, otherwise you're just gonna not meet your thingos and just be screwed. So at the moment for me, I live pretty well and stuff, and cheaply I do have a little bit of a loan, and so I've got about 400 a week or 500 a week that I have to make, which I can, which is all right. But I know someone who's got like 1,100 a week he has to make, and that's not even really paying off much of his loan. That's just like keeping his head above the water, and that's rough because he has to just work like a slave, you know, and it just puts pressure on him, you know. It's just constantly money is a problem in that. So it's just like you don't want to get into that situation where you have to earn like 1,000 a week just to keep your head above the water, you know. Yeah, money is a, I think, something you need to be responsible about and, yeah, just look after it and stuff and, you know. Not much to talk about, hey? Just yeah, I haven't found money to be much of a problem because it's quite simple. It's just like, you know, you have a certain amount of money coming in and you have a certain amount of money going out, and you just always make sure that you have more money coming in than going out. That's quite simple. You just do that and you'll be all right. And you don't have it so you have $1 more coming in than going out. You have, like, you try and have as much as possible more coming in than going out. And then you'll be sweet. You'll be able to afford all the things. These days it's like, it seems like property is so expensive, especially in Australia. It's just like that's the only thing that's really hard to afford. But otherwise, if it wasn't for property, take property out of the equation. Let's say someone gave you a house for free. You'd be laughing. Like, you could easily have plenty of money coming in and not that much money going out, and you'd be set for the rest of your life. So it's really property, having a place to live, that's the big thing. And at the moment, it's 2015, and I think Australia's property is ridiculously expensive, and it might be in some kind of a bubble. I don't think it's going to be a spectacular crash or anything. I just don't think it can continue increasing. It's just so much. People just can't afford it. It's just crazy. So that's why I would stick to renting, to be honest, because I wouldn't be willing to pay that much for a house. They've got these things that are like these little tiny houses things. And what they are is they're basically like really good caravans that you can live in, and you build them yourself. And like these little homes, and you can they're on a trailer, a big trailer, and you can tow them to different places. And so if you don't want to get, you know, into heaps of debt by buying a house or something, then buy for like 30 grand one of these tiny houses, and then you put it on a property somewhere, or you arrange some deal where you can put it in your friend's backyard or something, and then you got a sweet house to live in. You don't have this massive debt to the banks. Like, you don't have like a $400,000 mortgage. You just have like 30 grand that you have to get together. But with these tiny houses, you would obviously have to get a really good and big one, or you get two of them, two good big ones, and you have them designed so that they fit in together with each other, which is a pretty cool idea. So you make an L shape with them, and you fit them in together, and then in the middle of the L shape you have like a decking, so that's like your outdoor decking, and then that's plenty of space. And then on top of that, this would be an ideal home, because this is literally, you could have a family home in this. You have the L shape with the decking in the middle, and then you also have you have to have a big car that can tow the house as well, but also a car that has a lot of room to store stuff. So if you had like maybe a big van or a car with a big space in the back, and then that could be storage of just like random bits and pieces. And then you're set. Like, that's literally it. And probably for two of them, two tiny houses to make one ultimate tiny house and the good car, you might end up paying like $100,000. But then you have this really sweet setup for $100,000. And like, you can design the tiny house yourself and everything. There's a TV show about tiny houses in America, and that shows how people make them, because trailer parks are pretty popular in America, but these tiny houses are like not crappy trailer parks. They're like good and that, and the trendy people like them and stuff. And so, like, let's say for 100 grand, I mean, and then you just find someone who has a big backyard or some place where you can have it, and then yeah, you're set. And you don't have like a $500,000, because it's so expensive in Australia. You don't have a $500,000 house to live in, where you have to pay rates and you have to pay all this interest to the bank, and you're not struggling. That's what I would do. I would either do that, or I would move out into the country, into a country town where the property prices are cheaper, and might try and like build my own house or something like that there. But you could probably maybe move your tiny house to a property in the country, and then you could have like this brand new house on a property. And anyway, sounds like a pretty cool idea. All right, so it's a nice, quiet Sunday evening. Wow. Yeah, there isn't that much to talk about, but I've got to do the hour, so let's see how it goes. I went to a vaccine protest today, protesting how the government is forcing us to take vaccines, because vaccines have side effects, and it seems to be about 1% of the population get permanent bad side effects, whether it's permanent allergies for the rest of their life or death. Just any of those sort of side effects, 1% of the population get them from these vaccines, and the government's trying to force people to take them. And so with me, it's just like, man, I don't care if it's 1% or 1 in 1,000 get that sort of side effect, I'm not going to take that risk. You know, it's just like, it's just too risky, and it's crazy that the government's trying to force us to take them. You know, like at the vaccine protests, you see some children who have been harmed by vaccines, and what the doctors, some of the dodgy doctors and that, and scientists say, they go, oh, this kid was going to develop this illness anyway, and the vaccine just happened at the same time by coincidence. And so many of these coincidences have been happening, where it's just like straight after the vaccine, the kid's screwed. And that's what made me suspicious as to what's going on. Why is there a cover-up of vaccine side effects? Because clearly they're having some harmful side effects. It's just like, That's what the doctors say, and some people who just think doctors and scientists are like gods and are really scientific, even though some of them aren't. Some people believe them, so like they literally go get the vaccine, and like the next day the kid's screwed up permanently for the rest of their life, and they think, and the doctor tells them it's a coincidence, and some of them actually are like, oh, okay, really? Wow, so a kid was going to be retarded anyway, and then they don't even suspect the vaccine, and it's just so ridiculous. But the people who go to these protests, they're pretty switched on, and they've worked out what's going on, and they believe that it's the vaccine that harmed them. And I saw this this girl that was at the vaccine protesting, and she was in a wheelchair, and they showed like healthy baby photos of her. And then after the vaccine, like I don't know what age, like age 4 or something, after the vaccine, like she went bad after the vaccine, and then now you look at her and she's 18 years old, and she's just like full on crippled in a chair, like a wheelchair, and it looks really, really bad. So that's the sort of stuff you see when you go there. And some people are like, why are you anti-vaccines? And it's just like, well, look at what's happened to this kid, you know what I mean? Like, that's pretty crazy, you know? There's literally a conspiracy of covering up the bad side effects of vaccines. And this has happened with lots of big pharma drugs and heaps of products and that they've covered up the bad side effects, and like with antidepressants and anxiety pills and all this sort of stuff. And there's cover-ups. So they don't want people finding out that these things cause side effects, because they've invented something that they can make a lot of money from, and only 5% or 1% of the people who take them get these bad side effects. So they just go, great, you know, let's come up with some, literally, I mean, it sounds crazy, but they literally go, okay, let's release papers and that, scientific papers saying it's perfectly safe, these things, and the side that people get these side effects are only like 1 in a million. And then everyone goes, okay, 1 in a million is fine, because it's so unlikely. they release these drugs and they sell these drugs and they sell these vaccines and they make all this money off it. And then some things come out where some people get harmed by them in their wheelchair, and the 1%, the 5% of the people who take them start coming out and start voicing their opinions and stuff. And then they come out with dodgy things. They pay scientists to come out with thingos saying, no, this person's wrong. And they pay doctors to say, no, this person's wrong. And yeah, so that's what you get. And then you get pretty much a cover-up of the bad effects of vaccines. And today, Channel 9 News was there. They were the biggest media thing that was there, and that was pretty surprising. I really didn't expect them to be there, because the previous protest a few months earlier, they didn't rock up at all. And I was like, me and maybe one or two other people, like the only people from media who were there, and we're, you know, like a unusual, like alternative or whatever. And the big shots usually just completely don't report on these things, because that's what the big pharma want them to do. Like, I don't know how it's crazy to think how controlled the media is. It's just fully controlled from the top to the bottom. Like, the media is bought and paid for, you know. It's just like, don't think you're actually getting the real news. But it was great to see Channel 9 there, and they did a report that the people were protesting, forcing us to take vaccines. And their report was, see, sometimes they either just don't report on it at all, or they report and they do an attacking report that says these people are crazy and stuff. Well, Channel 9 actually did an alright report, because it pretty much was legitimately a report of what happened. And it was on the 6 o'clock news. And but they also gave both sides of the argument. So they showed the protests and that. And then the other side of the argument, they showed the Premier of Victoria saying, referring to the laws and saying the law is being instituted forcing people to take vaccines because it's a good thing. And he says that there's no science saying that vaccines are harmful. And he says that there's no, he goes, there's no argument. He goes, it's definite that they're safe. And that is just a complete lie, the Premier of Victoria. And see, I thought this Premier guy wasn't a good guy, you know what I mean? Before, like, I really hadn't researched much of him, but he, you know, there's people you go, I don't know if I like this guy, but someone like Donald Trump is just, personally, I just reckon he's cool as, like, you just know that this guy's cool, he's good, you know, and, like, he's funny, and he's, to me, Donald Trump is someone that you want to switch on the TV and see on the TV, and I wish him heaps of luck in the presidency and all that sort of stuff. He gives you, like, a reason to be alive, someone like Donald Trump. He's just cool as and entertaining. But anyway, this Premier is just, like, one of those wanky people where you just, like, they give you a reason not to be alive. Like, you don't want to see this person around. Anyway, so I was a bit suspicious about him, because in Melbourne they were going to build a big tunnel or something and he cancelled it, and there was no good reason to cancel it, and he just ended up wasting all this money, I think. His political party cancelled it or something. And so then to find out that he's also... just believes Big Pharma and all the bullshit stuff, and is pushing for this law to have vaccines forced on everyone. It's just like, yeah, that's it. He's a bad guy. You just know he's a bad guy. So the news showed the protesters, then showed this Premier saying the science is settled on thingos, and it's just like, yeah, Premier, how about you come to these protests and actually see? So do you know what would happen if I was a Premier of Victoria? I would be at, like, every protest there was on any topic going on in Melbourne. You know what I mean? I'll be up to date on what's going on and what the citizens want, and I'll be talking to them. I'll be finding out about vaccines, and I'll be finding out about community TV stations being cancelled. And I'll actually be doing something. I wouldn't just, like, stand there on a podium and preach stuff and that, and just be not answer letters from the public and that sort of stuff. I would actually do what a politician should do, but this guy's a bad guy, so, of course, he just, like, looks good in his suits and stuff and doesn't really do anything. So, yeah, so he's obviously... He's got the propaganda full... He's full of the propaganda and stuff, and potentially, you know, he could be getting paid by the pharmaceutical industry to promote vaccines. And probably not. It's possible it is not. He's just a moron, you know. So, yeah, the Channel 9 news report was pretty good because it showed both sides. And, you know, if people look at it and they hear the Premier speaking and saying vaccines are safe, but they see all these people protesting, people who watch it, 6 o'clock news, go, oh, well, If they're safe, then why are these people, like, they go, oh, there must be something to this anti-vaccine movement. And it's not even that it's anti-vaccine, it's just pro-choice in regards to vaccines in the same way as pro-choice in regards to abortion or just anything, pro-choice drugs. Just, you should be able to be, just choose what you want, you know. Your government shouldn't have the power to decide what people can or cannot put in their bodies. It just has nothing to do with the government. The government's job is to, like, provide water, to just provide some cops to lock up some bad people, and that's about it. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't need to do all these things. And if people have a problem with drug takers or people who speed in their car and that sort of stuff, then you start your own charity and raise money for it and then start making your own ads and do what they did with smoking and stuff. Like, we've managed to get the smoking rates down heaps by just keep on promoting it. They haven't made cigarettes legal or anything, but they just promoted it and kept on attacking cigarettes, and so then that dropped down heaps. So you could do the same with other things. So if you've got a problem with people not taking vaccines and you really think it's a good thing, then start your own organisation and start, you know, promoting the good news about vaccines and educating people and stuff, not, like, forcing the government to pass laws. Governments shouldn't have that sort of power to do those sorts of things, because then if the government could just have a power to pass any law they want, then evil people will start passing laws forcing you to take vaccines, and then they make shitloads of money from the vaccines. Or evil people pass a law saying drugs are banned, and then they make shitloads of money because they're the only ones who have the license to deal the drugs or whatever. So it's just like, the problem with the world and with governments is that governments have basically been given a license to do whatever they want. The governments have the power to pass whatever bills they want. So, of course, evil people just lap it up and just go into government and absolutely love it. And they sit there and they can pass any law they want and they get all this power. I guarantee you, if governments were just very powerless and just couldn't just pass whatever law they want and literally just provided the road and the water supply and a little bit of the police, but they can only supply to police, I guarantee you then lots of evil people wouldn't want to become a politician, because they'll be like, why? It's not that respected, you don't have that much power. But when the governments are really powerful and people fear them and are respected and can pass all these laws, all these evil people go, yes, I want to become a politician, yes, I can get into that role and tell people what to do and control them, and yes, and I can have all that power, and oh yes, I want to be a politician, yeah. Anyway, so we just gravitate all these politicians, all these evil people into politics. Anyway, so I was at the rally and it was good, and some speakers spoke and stuff, and there was more people there than the last time, and the vibe of the place was good. And it was great seeing Channel 9 there, and there was also lots of other people from the media as well there, more than last time. There was more than twice the amount of people from the media than what there was at the previous rally. So, yeah, it was a success in that, and I think that the reason why in the past 3 years there's been a big push for these laws to force people to take vaccines is because what happened was that people who were pro-choice on vaccines or anti-vaccines were starting to win. They were starting to get a lot of information out there, and parents were actually starting to stop vaccinating their kids because they found out about the side effects and that with on social media. They found out about all this sort of stuff. And so the vaccine rates, instead of being like, I don't know what they were in the 90s or the 2000s. Like, instead of being like 95 or like 98%, which is pretty damn high, they started to drop down to like 90%. And so the movement was starting, and it was like, ooh, and parents were starting to go, oh, I don't want to give my kids vaccines and stuff. So then, of course, they go, well, we've got to come up with a solution to this. We've got to start, you know. They started making documentaries and that, they're just full of propaganda saying that vaccines are good and not showing any other point of view, or, yeah, not showing the other side that are against them and why they're against them. And they started passing these laws. It's rolled out all across the world. It's just, why is it, it's really interesting. It's like, why is it, I don't think this sort of stuff was happening back in 2010, but it's like starting about 2012, the past 3 years, it's like, why is it that in all these Western countries at the same time, suddenly all these bills are getting passed to, like, force parents to vaccinate their kids? And, yeah, like, kids won't be allowed to go to school if they're not vaccinated, and kids won't be able to go to daycare if they're not vaccinated. And the main thing people were protesting in Melbourne today was that parents would lose child support or some sort of government support for if they don't vaccinate their kids. And also they wouldn't be able to, yeah, play in kindergarten or something if they didn't vaccinate their kids. I don't even know the specifics about it. I just know that they're making it harder and harder for parents who are part of this anti-vaccine movement to be a part of society, yeah, if they choose not to vaccinate. So it's quite an interesting topic in that, and it's quite diabolically evil that when you see some of these harmed kids and that, and you just think, wow, these big pharma people just don't care, and that, and they just want to make more money, and they don't mind harming kids and that, and it's quite interesting. So recently, Australia's got a new Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, and I don't know too much about him, but I'm quite suspicious of him. He's one of those people like the Premier of Victoria that I was saying, where I'm a little bit suspicious about him, a little bit suspicious about Malcolm Turnbull. I don't know. I don't think he's going to be that good. I've heard from some good people that he's no good, and so let's see how it goes. It looks like he might... he's come into power, and he's changed the roles of... He's changed the whole Liberal Party around and what roles people have. So I think this might be like a taking over by Malcolm Turnbull of the Liberal Party and making a Liberal Party basically like the Labour Party. So because the Liberals got in and Labour haven't got their act together. And so the people who are for all these like leftist sort of socialistic sort of, you know, big government policies and all that sort of stuff, they weren't really winning. And so what they did is they, you know, with Malcolm Turnbull, now they've got someone infiltrating the Liberal Party and taking it over. So the Conservatives and the small government people like Tony Abbott and the other people, maybe Joe Hocking as well, well, now they've been sort of kicked out. So now we don't have a Conservative. It seems like possibly now we don't have a Conservative Party in Australia. And whereas before it was like, oh, I just hope that the Labour and the Greens don't get voted in. But now it's like, well, they all seem bad now, you know. So it's like, oh, great. So I'm interested in seeing how this turns out. Malcolm Turnbull is, you know, typically very professional looking and speaking and that sort of stuff, and he doesn't say things that can offend people like Tony Abbott. So the general Australian population don't have that much of a bad idea of him, even though he could be way worse than Tony Abbott. But, you know, because he's more clever and more smart about hiding it and that, you know, we'll see how it goes. But I think Tony Abbott wasn't smart enough. I think he needed to be a bit more careful with the things he said, but he coughed up and stuff and he made some mistakes. So lots of left-wing people and socialistic big government sort of people... By the way, socialism and communism and left-wing and all that sort of stuff and greenies, it's all big government. It's all saying that there's a big government that has power and can tell people what they do, whereas the right-wing is more like limited government that just doesn't have much to do with people's lives. It's more close to being libertarian, so like freedom-loving and just let people be, you know? So these people who are like trying to say that the Labour Party aren't communist, it's like... Communist is like having a big government, you know. It's a whole idea where, you know, instead of just letting people be, it's just like having this big organisation that has, you know, has these powers and stuff. And it's not the way to go in general in society. It's not the way how you govern people. The best thing to do is to have just a free society, and government doesn't do much. government's just not necessary a lot of the time. You know, like I was saying, you just need government to provide some water and one or two police, and that's it. You know, you don't need to have all this government. Anyway, so yeah, so with Malcolm Turnbull, it looks like it's going to be an interesting few years, and it looks like the next election, because it, Tony Abbott, people just didn't like him so much because just he screwed up a few times with some of the things he said. He wasn't careful enough, he wasn't tactful, you know, he was just an honest, blunt Aussie man, you know, when you just can't be like that, otherwise the media and just like all the left-wing people and that, and the socialists just rip into you, they just tear you to shreds. So he stuffed up a few times, and so if he'd stayed in power, if he'd stayed as the head of the Liberal Party and... He would have been voted out and that. Oh, I mean, so he wouldn't have won the election probably, or would have made it harder. So the Liberal Party, the members of that, were keen on putting Malcolm Turnbull in because he was a new face. He was a new face, you know, and he was a good person to go into the election. And really looking at it now, although the election's in like a year's time or something, Liberal pretty much with Malcolm Turnbull have it down pat, they're going to win already. It's pretty much locked in because the Labor Party haven't got their act together and they're a bit shambles in their leader. Isn't the sort of dude that'll win the election, and but what do they care? They've got Malcolm Turnbull in, he might not be any good anyway, so it might be like, although it's a Liberal Party in name, they won't really follow the traditional Liberal policies, which in Australia are, you know, limited government and all that sort of stuff, because I know Americans got this definition of Liberal, which means like progressive and left wing or whatever, but in Australia, the Liberal Party is more close to libertarian. It's kind of confusing how America have this different idea of the word liberal. It's all these political terms are confused, like communism, socialism, liberalism, libertarianism, right wing, left wing. They've just all been retarded and confused, and because the education system's just so terrible. That people just, like, don't understand politics, and it's just all big question marks, people. And I know this sounds like a conspiracy and sounds crazy, but it's done like that on purpose. Like, if you have a population of people and you make sure the education system never really tells them what these things are and isn't good, then they grow up to be adults and they just hear politicians speak on the TV and they just get confused by everything and don't understand things. And then they just... when it comes to politics, they just go and vote for whoever seems popular on the TV leading up to the polls, or they just don't vote at all or whatever, and then you whoever's in power is whoever you want to be in power if you're an evil person, you know? You can control the society better, you can choose who they elect better, as long as you keep them dumbed down, you know, and not knowing what these terms are. But smart, switched on education, educated population who know what these words mean and know what left and right wing is and blah 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 blah, and politics is simple to them, then they vote, and they vote for the right person and they make the right decision, you know. But at the moment it's sort of not set up like that, but things are getting better. I can't believe what's going on in America. I mean, talk about this is the most exciting place in the world. Like, this politics wise it's just the coolest thing ever what's going on there. So they had they had their elections like in 2012 or whatever, and Obama got in again because the other side had some good politicians like Ron Paul, and he was the man. But the media literally, this is where you find out how corrupt the media is. The media did a blacklist of him, and they did not report Ron Paul. And so like if he came good on the polls, they would say blah, 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 10%, blah, 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 20%. And then they'll say other, 30%. And they wouldn't even write down his name. Like, I'm not kidding. The media actually blacklisted Ron Paul. Like, that's how serious they were. And that's how corrupt it was. And, like, if he was delivering a speech at a university and thousands of people were there, they just wouldn't report on it. This is what I'm talking about. Where they don't report on the vaccines. They just ignore it. They either do an attack piece on something or they just don't put any attention on something. And then no one really finds out what's going on. But because of the media, people can find out about it. So Ron Paul managed to get quite a big following. But because of this, all this attacks from the media and that sort of stuff and blacklisting, Obama got voted in again. Whereas Ron Paul really would have been, is a really smart guy, knows how politics is awesome, isn't bought and paid for like Obama is. Sorry if you're an Obama fan. I could probably do a whole podcast on Obama, but Obama's quite questionable. I think, he just does whatever he wants to get money and he doesn't really care what's going on. He's exactly what's wrong with politics, and he's very smart and intelligent, wears a nice suit and speaks clearly, and occasionally says a little joke, and everyone goes, oh, Obama, you're so good, and he's black and stuff. So everyone's like, oh, Obama, you're cool and black, even though he's like half white or whatever. You know, everyone goes, oh, the first black president, why don't they say the first white president, you know? Well, obviously you'd have a white president before, but you know what I mean, how they're like the first black president. It's just like, why, like, I don't know. People just give up on race and stop talking about it, because especially when it comes to someone like Obama, he's a mixture of races. He's other races as well. He's probably more white. There's probably white in him than in him than black. You know, and they're like, oh, the first black president. It's just like, they should just stop talking about blackness. I mean, people don't care about other people's colours. Just get over it, you know. But this is what the media does. They just try and cause controversy all the time and make out that people are racist and all this sort of stuff. When the majority of people just, like, don't give a shit what people's colour is and just get over it. Anyway, there's an episode of the episode of South Park where the town and the media and all this stuff is going, oh, racism, 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 and then teaching the kids about racism, how it's bad and everything. And the kids just had no idea what racism was because they just, but only until they got educated about racism, had all this racism pumped down their throats, did they sort of start to become racist? It just has a negative effect. It doesn't solve the problem. And when they didn't know anything about it, then they just treated everyone like, you know, they're equal and shit. And so that's what needs to get done with racism. It's like, it's almost like the word racism needs to get taken out of the dictionary. It needs to get, I'm not saying this should happen, but it's just like, it needs to get just completely, like, no one could talk about it again. And then, I'm not kidding, that would be the best thing, and people would just forget that it ever happened. You know what I mean? And like, you know, most people just, especially in Australia, people couldn't care less what your freaking race is. Like, it's just, it's so, yet, I bet you, because of the media, other countries actually think Australians are quite racist. You know, just because we did some comedy show did some act called Hey Hey Saturday, where three people painted their skin black and danced silly. And it was just like a funny, silly thing, and everyone laughed at it. And I'm sure black people laughed at it in Australia as well. But, like, the media sees it and goes, oh, Australia's racist, and it's just like, no, we're so not racist that we don't care if you paint your skin black and do a silly dance. You know what I mean? Like, that's where we're at. So in America, the media completely blacklisted Ron Paul, and it's just so interesting, like, to actually see it, to actually see them, like, that. They'll report on a speech by Obama or some other politician dude, and then they just, like, there'll be way more people at the Ron Paul speech, and they just wouldn't report on it. Like, it's just so dodgy. They actually, because if Ron Paul got into power, he wouldn't accept bribes, he wasn't corrupt, and he wanted to make government smaller, and all the lobbyists, people just, lots of evil people high up wouldn't want Ron Paul to get in. Anyway, so Ron Paul didn't get in, and Obama got voted in again. And then next election was coming up, and now Ron Paul retired, and Ron Paul has his son called Rand Paul, and he's not as amazing as his dad. His dad's just the most amazing thing ever. But he's also really good and smart and switched on, and his name's Rand Paul, and it's similar to Ron Paul, you know. And so the voters would all go to Rand Paul, you know what I mean, who were previous Ron Paul fans. And so he was a great dude, and he's running for president. And there's also Dr. Ben Carson, and then there's another American dude who's good that's running for president, right? So it was like, wow, the Republican side, because they have, like, sort of the Democrats and the Republicans, like sort of Australia where we've got the Liberals and the Labor. So it looked like the Republican side looked like they had some good candidates to choose from. But again, it was the same situation where it was like, well, what if the media just blacklists them? And also, they're not as well known as Hillary Clinton, who's running for the other side. You know what I mean? Because Obama can't get voted in again. So Hillary Clinton or whatever. And it's just like, it's a bit questionable, right? And also, between the three good, like, Republican candidates or whatever, they weren't as well. They're not as well known, and they were all about equal. They were all like just pretty good. Like, you know, they're going to do a good job, and they're awesome, and just you hope one of them gets picked in. But you need someone who's like a You need a rock star. You need someone who really stands out. That's why Obama was cool, because he was big and he really stood out and the media was on his side and stuff. So it was looking a bit like, oh, no, what the hell's going to happen in the American election? Like, and also the fact that out of the three good Republican candidates I'm talking about, the fact that they're all about, it's almost not good that there's three of them. You just want one really good one, so that just all the attention goes onto that one, right? But having three sort of all good ones, and then none of them stand out from each other, it was just a bit questionable. But then on came Donald Trump. He just came out of nowhere as this huge rock star. He's already well known everywhere from his TV show, and because he's some rich business guy, and he came along, which was just the best thing ever, because he was like, not only was he like the other ones, as in he would make a good president, maybe he might not be as good as someone like Rand Paul, but you know he's going to be good. You know what he's going to be good. You know what he's going to do is going to be good for the country. He's not bought and paid for. He's not a little corrupt bastard like fucking other people like Obama. Like, you know he's got morals. Like, he likes to do what's right and that sort of stuff. So he came along, and suddenly it was like, yes, because out of these, you know, these bunch of people on the Republican side, suddenly there's one that every all the attention go on. He can be the one that will make it. You know, all the media will go on to him. He's already known in the media. Everyone knows him, because people just vote for people who they already know. They're just not going to vote for someone who they don't really know. So, anyway, Donald Trump came out of nowhere and it was just like, yes, this is awesome. The media was on his side and he was winning, and he's winning in the polls at the moment. He might literally be the next American president, and that is just so awesome. That's just really great. Like, that is, I'm really happy about that. And he can handle the attacks from the media. He just looks at it and says it for what it is and goes, you're just being this and that. You're just trying to cause a controversy. And he rips into it. And the Americans are like, yeah, he's going to bring jobs back to the country. And he is exactly what America needs at the moment. Because also, some of the policies of some of these good Republicans that I was talking about, like Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, Ben Carson, they're almost like too much of a change from Obama, because they really understand how government should be, how it should be small, it should completely stay out of your life. So if they got voted in suddenly, and they really started making changes, it would be such a quick change. So you'd actually want someone who's like Donald Trump as a transition person. It's midway between Obama and the other dudes, if you know what I mean. Like, he's a good guy. I'm not saying he's bad, but he's not totally small government, if you know what I mean. So he's like, you get Trump in for a bit, and then after that, now the country's changed a little bit, now they're ready for someone like Rand Paul. So it's like, Rand Paul needs to stick at it, and I think one day he'll make the presidency, or Ben Carson will make it. They're just very intelligent people. But it's almost like their ideas were just too different. And then they needed a middleman like Donald Trump to come in and start giving people some ideas that are like, oh, maybe government can be small, can be different, you know what I mean? And start slowly changing people, then get them ready for the next election after that, and then hit them with Rand Paul, who would really be awesome, or Ben Carson, who would really be awesome. So it's just, it's so great. It's really good. They really did hit rock bottom with the second voting in of Obama, and I don't think many people, because everyone was excited the first time he got Obama in, the voting rates were probably a little bit higher than usual, and everyone was like, oh my God, change and all this stuff, and Obama came in and just did everything that Bush was doing, but even more, and didn't provide any change. And then, like, he just got voted in again because there was just no one else to go up against him. And so it's like they hit absolutely rock bottom in, like, 2012 when he was voted in again, and the voting rates are probably the lowest they've ever been. And now it's like, it usually happens like that when things just hit their absolute rock bottom. Suddenly, you know, things start going right, and they continually go right, and they go right, and they go right. And then suddenly you're just in this awesome position. But usually it's not like with organizations or football teams or something like that. Something goes bad and they go crap, and then suddenly things are good and they go all the way to the top. It's more like things go bad, and then they go a little bit good, and then they go bad, and then they go really bad. When they hit absolute rock bottom, then they just can't get any lower, and then things just go good, and they just continually go good from there. And the wave starts, and it's already started because a good dude called Grant Cardone said he's going to run for president in 2020. So already the next election after this one, they've got good news coming, and they've got someone. They've also got Kanye West, and he's a bit out there, but that's good. You know, I would prefer someone like Kanye West than some like fancy talking, looking nice suit guy like Obama. You know what I mean? So it's like the next election coming up after that. It's just like that's looking even more interesting than one that's going on now. So it's just like this is what I'm talking about, where it just gets better and better, where you just get like you get to the point where suddenly you get all these good people that could be presidents, and you're not too concerned who makes it because there's so many good to choose from. Whereas 10 years ago, it was like there's so many bad to choose from that no matter what, there always someone bad would get voted in. And they did continually. It was like it was the old Bush guy, then it was Bill Clinton, then it was Bush again, and then it was Obama. And I think they were all consecutively bad presidents. They were not good people. They were ones that, and you might go, oh, they look pretty nice. But I'm telling you, just because they wear a nice suit and speak clearly and say nice-sounding things, it's not that they're good. You know what I mean? Like, behind the scenes, it's just like there's a lot going on. But, yeah, all those people stood for big governments and stuff, and they just wanted to tax Americans more and all that sort of stuff. So it's just, like, things are looking really exciting for America, and everyone there should be super positive. And there's, good on Trump. Hopefully he makes it. I think he, for the Republican Party, they really should pick him because even though Ben Carson and Ted Cruz and Rand Paul are awesome, I don't think any of them are big enough, enough of a celebrity to get in, whereas, Donald Trump could get in because he has, people know him, you know, and Donald Trump has been talking about politics since the 80s and stuff, he's very into it, and he's timed it right, so he's ready. He's putting all his money. He's putting like $1 billion of his own money into it. He's ready. He's dropping all the guns. He knows that this is the one where I'm going to do it. I'm going to get in there. And I think he's the sort of person that wouldn't do something if he knew he wouldn't win or knew he wouldn't do really good at it because he's a really smart businessman. It's like, imagine he knows if he's going to build a casino or build a building or start some business, he's not going to do it unless he knows it's totally, like, really good chance it's going to be a success. Otherwise, he just wouldn't bother. So I think he's one of those people. So when it comes to politics, it's like now he's ready. He knows it's a real good chance. He knows he can do it. And just, cool, he's going to put all his energy into it. He's going to make it. So, I personally, that's my guess that he's going to get it. And also, the opposition side with Hillary Clinton, she's got, apparently, these scandals have come out a bit where, because she's been corrupt for years, apparently. And finally, they're sort of coming out a bit. And her name's been harmed a bit. Her name has been attacked a bit, so she's no longer this like goddess that she was like 3 years ago. She's now starting to get a bit of a bad reputation, and my God, is she an evil person? Like Jesus! Like if you watch stuff with her, she like has this big fake smile on her face all the time, and she looks like such a nice white middle-aged woman and stuff, like baby boomer, like oh, I'm perfect, I'm Hillary Clinton, but like deep down, she's a very good person, and her face is so, she speaks proper in that, and her face is so fake and stuff, like she put this big fake smile on, and just, you know, you'd rather have someone walk on stage and deliver a political speech and look a little bit, like, fucking sad or something like that, because at least you know what you're getting, at least you see this person's genuine, whereas Hillary Clinton puts in the act and goes, oh, yeah, yeah, and, like, isn't real, and Obama's a bit the same, but Hillary's even more so, like, her smile looks like she's some crazy queen or something, like, really, really out there. So, wow, what an exciting time to be around and stuff. It's just, it's definitely absolutely amazing. So America's got it really cool. Like, I mean, this election is cool as, and then the next election after that, having Kanye West go for president, like, it's going to be even cooler. And having Grant Cardone, his, this motivational speaker guy, he's actually probably a little bit like Donald Trump, but he's just not as well known, but he's like a businessman and a property dude, and he's like got heaps of millions of dollars, and he also has some sort of radio show or like motivational speaking tapes and stuff that kind of like Tony Robbins, that guy that, like, gives advice to help people and that. So he's got a bit of that thing going, and he's a real good guy. And, you know, that would just be such a cool election to have all these cool people. But out of all of them, who I think is the most qualified is actually Rand Paul and Ben Carson. Like, they are just so intelligent. They just know it. And, yeah, anyway, but good luck with all of them. It's going to be good. I wouldn't vote for Kanye West, though. But, you know, what's good about him is at least you get what you see. Like, he's quite honest about things. Like, even when he said he was going to run for president, I think he said something like, now, he goes, now you people might be thinking that I'm a bit crazy or high or some shit. And he's like, yeah, and I did smoke some bongs before this or something like that. He's like, but I'm not joking. I'm going to really run for president. So he's so direct and honest. He would just say that sort of stuff. But yeah, I don't think he knows that much about politics, but, you know, anyway, so yeah, good luck with the election over there. So yeah, it's really exciting in that. And, but Australian politics, it just looks now so lame compared to the American politics. Like, now it looks like we've got, like, nothing going on in the Labor Party, nothing really going on in the Greens Party, and, a Liberal Party that just has Malcolm Turnbull that people sort of know, and, you know, what's going to happen? You know, it's just like, and Malcolm Turnbull seems a little bit questionable and that, so, I don't know. But if there was an election, I'd just study it a little bit and look into it in Australia, and, you know, I'll probably end up having to choose maybe Malcolm Turnbull or something, because I knew that there's Liberal Party's a bit more organised than the Labor Party, and now I definitely couldn't vote Labor or Greens. Anyway, I was just thinking about global warming. It's just like, yeah, it just doesn't seem like it's happening with, you know, what's going on anyway. Some of the people didn't want a tunnel built in Melbourne because they don't like to encourage cars, they don't want to encourage global warming and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, it's just, you know, what's going on with that? Like, I don't know, I haven't really noticed much heating and that sort of stuff. I did a whole podcast on global warming before, but, at the moment, like, yeah, totally, there's other technology that we can use besides cars, absolutely. So instead of just, like, talking about global warming and trying to stop tunnels being built, I think they should really work, put effort into exposing the fact that there's just technology that's been hidden from us that could, you know, that we could all run cars on easily. Like, apparently there's so much high technology that just gets hidden by people at the top who want to make money. Like, apparently Rockefeller, who's right at the top, owned heaps of the oil stuff and that sort of stuff, and he doesn't want anyone, you know, using special technology and all that sort of stuff, because then you lose all this money. And they'll do things like, if a scientist invents some new technology, they'll just buy it and then they'll just put it in the bin and be like, no, you're going to continue driving your cars because we're making heaps of money from it. Like, apparently Tesla, who was some electrical scientist genius, like, came up with a way of producing wireless electricity. So there's just like a hub that puts out electricity in the air, and then you can just have your car tap into it and your phone tap into it and everything, and then you just never have to worry about battery power. You just permanently got battery. Like, how cool is that? That's the sort of stuff that's going to happen in the future. You'll never have to have any wires put in your house. You just have, every device has a receiver where it can tune into this frequency of electricity, and then there, voila, you got electricity, and it can all be for, like, so cheap and for free. But it's just like, certain evil people don't want that happening because they won't make much money. That's why the future's got such a bright thing to happen, because they can't keep it hidden for that long. Eventually it's going to come out, these technologies, and eventually people won't have to work as slaves every day in order to pay the bills and stuff. You know, there'll be free electricity and the cars will be super cheap, and then just like, society will be awesome. You know, you can just, you only have to work as many days as you feel like working. You don't have to work big hours. You just don't have to be a slave, basically, you know. Because there's just been too much slaveness going. Like, it's just like people have to do the 40-hour a week and that. And it's tough on men, especially do physical jobs. It's just like, whoa, you know, I can't do it. If I do 40-hour weeks of physical work, I'm just like, I can do it, but I wouldn't be able to do anything in my free time. All I could do is just watch a little bit of TV and then just sleep and eat. And then just wake up and go back to work again and sleep and eat. And then watch a little bit of TV. And then that'll just be me. Because I'll be so exhausted in the evening. And then that'll just be me. To me, I'll consider that being a slave. Like, I'll just be a slave for whatever work I'm doing, you know? So I have to do, like, I don't know, 20 hours a week or something like that. And, like, work half days just all the time. And then I have enough energy to do what I want to do. Especially in summertime as well. You just get so worn out by doing lots of physical work. Like, it's just, when it gets hot, it's just suddenly things change. Like, when it comes to energy, suddenly you just cannot work as fast, and you just need more sleep. And anyway, I'm going to be a slave, and we shouldn't be. And anyway, with more free time and not having to work as many hours, people will be able to spend more time, like, studying things like these electricity things or religions or doing cool things. And then just things, more inventions will come, and just things will just get a lot more awesomer because people have more free time. But when everyone's just working 9 to 5 as a total slave, like totally worn out by that, then they're, the world's not going to be as interesting, you know? And, it was coming up to nearly the end of an hour. This one has been a bit more peaceful and stuff. I haven't spoken that much. This one hasn't even really had a theme. I've just gone on to different things and stuff. And see, when I sort of started this, you sort of think, oh yeah, you'll get better as you do it. But to be honest, when it comes to me talking for an hour about stuff, it makes sense that the first few ones, you know, I'll have stuff to talk about, so it'll be awesome. And then after that, you'll just run out of stuff. So it's just like, I'm just doing what I feel like. And on this one, it looks like it's starting to run out of things to talk about and that. But I kind of look forward to that because I just feel like, where's it going to go? Where are the future ones going to go when I really run out of stuff to talk about? What's it going to go into? And I think I'm just going to go into more and more out there stuff, like aliens and just real interesting stuff, you know. More, less political. I think there's the first few ones it was like, there's certain political things I just need to get off my chest and talk about because it's just like, but now it's like I'm starting to get them off my chest, like about the vaccines and the gun control and legalization of drugs and stuff. You get them off your chest and then suddenly you're just like, okay, cool, you know. But, so it's almost at the end. I don't have much else to talk about. And if I started talking about something now, I'd just go off on a whole different topic. I'm looking forward to doing the next week's one, and I'm just right now actually sitting on the set for the Kink TV show, and it's looking really nice. Got a new lamp and got a new light and changed things around. It's just looking really nice right now. And this lamp's got like a little red sort of glowish to it, so it just makes things look cool and that. And it really suits doing a podcast with like this little lamp on, dim light, and it's just like, suits a podcast. And yep, so I haven't quite, it's 59 minutes now, and it's just like, I don't know what I'm going to say for the next minute, but this is the most exciting time of the podcast, like what I'm going to talk about for the next minute. Oh, come to think of it, what kind of annoys me is how on iPhones and that, how many updates the apps have. It's just like every 2 weeks there's a new update for the app, and it's so regular. Like, I really first came across it in like 2011 or something, when I first, or 2012 or something, and like, because I'd update my, I'll do the updates to the apps and stuff, and then it'll just be like, again, another update. I'll just like, why can't they just wait, why can't they update every year, every 6 months? Like, what, this is so often. Anyway, so it's kind of annoying when they just have so many updates and stuff. And sometimes they change things and they don't even need to get changed. And it's just like they didn't really make the app that much better. And sometimes I've updated things and made the apps worse than that. But, you know, I still keep my apps up to date and all that sort of stuff. But it's just like... like, sometimes you have bugs on them and problems. And you just go, well, if you have updates every 2 weeks and you just update them so often, wouldn't just all the bugs be gotten rid of by now? Like, why is there a bug now? Like, it just... suddenly isn't quite working. Like, my message thing on my phone was just, like, doing some weird things. It's just like, well, after all these updates, like, come on. If you're making me... bloody well update it every 2 weeks, at least at this, I expect all the bugs to be gotten out of it and they have no problems. Anyway, so the hour's up. I just wanted to say something quickly because we got into that topic of phone stuff. Apparently there's some app where you can... or some website where you can... you pay money for it. And they basically hack into someone's phone and get all the information out of it. Like, because you know with technology and all that sort of stuff, you can do that, right? So it's just amazing. Like, you can go up to them, you can go, okay, this person's name and their phone number, I want you to do your hack thing. And there's different levels of hack you can order, but if you order even just the basic one, you can get so much information from it. Like, you can read all their internet history, you can read all their text messages, you can read all their things that they've done on Facebook, and you just get all... And if you choose the option that you pay a bit more for, and it's not even that expensive, it's like $200, and you get all this information about a certain person, right? If you... you can get, like, their passwords, you just get... You literally, basically get given from this company that does the hacking... almost like getting a copy of that person's phone and you're just looking at it and you just get everything of that person. So it's just, you know, for husbands and wives or whatever who are cheating, if they're suspicious and they can just do that thing and get all the information from that person's phone and you can listen to their phone calls and just everything. It's just amazing. It's really like 1984, like New World Order and that sort of stuff. It's like, whoa. So you get all that information, but it seems like, oh, okay, that's a bad thing, but it's just like, it's actually kind of not really a bad thing because it means that with people knowing that can happen, right, with this technology and that, people are going to keep themselves clean. They're not going to do bad stuff. Like, as a politician, right, he'll have his own private phone. with people listening to his conversations and people having this ability to be able to hack into the things, that politician's going to be, like, scared to do anything wrong because they can't get away with it. You know what I mean? Anyone can find it out and leak it to the media and all that sort of stuff. So I think, actually, in the long run, it's actually going to help everyone in society to become better and squeaky clean because they, like, with these iPhones and that, they just can't get away with doing naughty stuff, you know? It's actually going to make people be more well-behaved, you know? Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, like, a copper is not going to be... Like, in the 60s, a copper could accept bribes and be a dodgy policeman, whereas now it's like, well, with this sort of amazing level of technology that we've got, it's going to be a lot harder for that cop to be a corrupt cop, you know? Because if their son can just hack into their phone and just find out about it, then it's going to deter them from... to make them not want to do illegal stuff. I see the most benefit coming from the point of view from politicians wise. Like, you can keep track of them and that sort of stuff. And like, as if, like, with the whole things like mafia and all that sort of stuff and the dodgy shit they do, of course they're going to be hiring these hacking companies to go into the people's phones who they're dealing with to make sure that person's being squeaky clean. So it's just like, even something like mafia, you'd say is bad, them using it will actually help the world and stuff. It's just going to make sure people are more well-behaved than that. And people, it's going to make it harder to be corrupt. So people are just going to be like, that's it, stuff. I'm not even going to be corrupt. It just makes it, it's that hard with the technology and that. I'm just not going to be a criminal. You know what I mean? Anyway, well, that's an hour and 4 minutes. And thanks for listening to the podcast. And... I've been Andy Nolch, the space cowboy, protecting freedom for you and me. Yeehaw!